There's a great difference between practicing sin and performing sin, doing it. Great differences are clearly stated in Scripture. Again, if Christians were sinless, we would be the most self-righteous, judgmental, narrow-minded people you would ever find. How do you know? Just meet a Christian who thinks that they are so. Just come across a Christian who thinks that they are better than you, and you got trouble. You come across a Christian who lives like their master. He said of himself, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he goes on to say, "For I am meek and lowly in spirit."
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Don't forget to stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10.
This led Paul to write to the church at Philippi, another church in modern-day Greece, ancient Macedonia. And he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him. If by any means I may attain to the gospel, this relationship with God exists for man to have, to plunge into. And I think that's enough scriptural references for now. We should move forward, coming back to verse 21 in Romans 1. If I'm going too fast and giving you too much information, I hope you're being bombarded with inescapable truths that are rational, that are reasonable, that are exciting and promising, and can make your heart leap with joy. There's a lot of work to be done. And so moving forward, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They became silly in their thinking. Man started out a worshiper. We made this point last week. And then he ends up a philosopher. Human philosophy, apart from God, is guessing. It guesses about human behavior. Well, I think you're doing this. And it loves, you know, you can sound really fine that you're saying all these things that just don't work. And so this willfully reducing God, which is unpardonable, I got this off of Wikipedia, which makes me always think like it's Elmer Fudd saying it. Wikipedia. Like he wants to say Rickypedia, but he's Wiki. But anyway, back to the Fudd site. This is a liberal site. You need to know that. They will mess with the truth on historical documents. I was reading one about American Indians fighting each other up in Illinois, the Illinois tribes, and how they changed it at the bottom. They insert this, "Well, we don't think this really happened." Well, were you there? That was funny. Everybody before you thought it happened. All of a sudden, you come along and you don't like it because you always want to present that, this country is so rotten that it can't be anything good here. And so just be careful when you go into Wikipedia, that you know that it's not honest. And so here's a quote that I grabbed that they thought was pretty good. This fellow Josh from the USA donated $10, and so I guess with that he bought a quote. And this is the spirit of the world, and the world, again, for the Christian is what Egypt was for the Jew. It is that group, the majority, marching contrary and hostile towards God the Creator. Even if they don't believe they are. We have to have a standard to settle this. My opinion's not good enough. We need something to settle it. And it must be a document so fierce and so true, cannot be refuted. And so here's the quote. He says, "Life creates questions." Well, that's deep. "Together, our world can write the answers." It sounds very nice, but it's not true. Man has not changed. We put a man on the moon, but yet men on earth still killing each other. We put enough men on the moon, they'll start killing each other there. They're still lying. They're still gossiping. Oh, yeah, we have these technological advances, but we use them to hurt each other. Man's still the same, basically, but instead of using slings, he's using guided missiles. I think it was a preacher from many years ago that said, we have guided missiles and misguided men. Very true. These men that Paul is talking about here are unthankful. They won't even acknowledge God. They are God begotten, but to them, God is man forgotten. That doesn't make sense. I keep saying that, I know. It's the frustration. I sure hope I'm sounding loving, because I mean it that way. But there's another side of me where this violates my reason, and that charges me up. I get passionate about it. Well, I am passionate about it. And I don't want you to misunderstand. But men and women alike, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're in big trouble. You're a shipwreck that is not going to be saved. You get one lifetime to fix this. Not a day, not a moment. You get a lifetime to get right with God. What about the pygmies? What do you know about pygmies except they don't have clothes on? I mean, really? Like that, you're so caring. Like if you found out about the pygmies, you're going to rush on a boat and go, what, serve them soup? So these lame excuses. What about you? Where are you at with Christ? There's so much. I make these references in Scripture so you can see how they link together to find out, wow, this is what I've been missing about my God. I can know Him. I can embrace Him. And He can embrace me. He says, but became futile in their thoughts. Man created a high being. He's going to act like a beast. He's created to have dominion over the creatures of the earth, and he acts like one. It's funny. We don't eat the animals. We act like them. We kill our young. Even most species of animals don't do that. And yet, there's this stampede to kill the unborn. Sisters, if you've ever committed such a sin, God will forgive you if you will be honest with him. If you will come to him, there is no sin out of his reach. Sin cannot make a human being worthless to God unless that human being insists on being without God. And there's only one true God. We're going to get to Nahum in a second, the prophet. These little prophets, and they just make these powerful statements. He's going to talk about what God does with his enemies. He's not lying. God does not lie. That would be the devil. When he says, I deal with those who are against me, he's very serious about this. And the fact that he doesn't open the skies up and start firing these lasers at us is only evidence of his love and his care and his patience. It is not evidence of his impotence. He is very powerful. It is the power of God that we are talking about for salvation. And so he come back, he said, they became futile to in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The light that they had, they shut it off. Because the whole universe declares his glory. You know how easy it is for a child born in an atheist home to believe God? But in the passage of time, that child will have a choice. He can look at the stars and he can turn off the lights and find himself in a maze which he cannot get out. I'd love to stay on that verse, but we need to move forward here. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. They're saying, oh, we know everything. You, if there are any college students here, this is a verse that you must memorize. Get it deep in you. It is from the Colossian letter. What was happening at Colossae, the city in ancient Turkey, was the church was a little church. It seems that Paul never visited this church or any other apostle. And word gets to Paul, while he's in jail in Rome, that this church that started out so well is being corrupted from the inside. That there are people coming in and they're bringing in all sorts of thoughts. I know people come to this church and they want to change us, but they don't understand it's the Word of God that makes us who we are. And if we begin to take on these changes, we will no longer be following the Word of God. We'll be just like everybody else. How many experiments do we have to have around us to prove this point? Go into any church where they're just doing whatever the people want, and you find out the Word of God is second fiddle, if at all. And God will not be second fiddle, therefore he's not there. Tozer, back in the 50s, A.W. Tozer. If you never read Tozer, I'll get to the college verse in a minute. If you never read A.W. Tozer, you have an important homework assignment. It goes in this order, the Word of God, my sermons, A.W. Tozer. Kidding. But I had to say that to be friendly to myself. But anyway, I don't mean that. The part about I'm number two. This Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit pulled out of the church, 95% of what the church was doing would still keep going. That means only 5% of what they were doing had anything with God in it. I hope it's not the other way around here. I hope it's 100% of what we do is Spirit-led. It is supported by the Word of God. And you will know wisdom, you will know her by her children. If you come to a church and everybody knows a lot about the Bible, but they're not very loving, you're probably in the wrong church. What good is not the... Play that backwards and it says this. What good is knowing the Word of God if there are no others, if there's no one to live it with? I don't mean just family members you can pull rank on. I mean... strangers who look funny, who dress funny, who don't do, who eat funny foods. I'm being a little humorous here, but I'm being very serious. What good is knowing the Word of God if you don't get to fly it? It's like having a kite and living in a cave. Oh, we're all friendly down here, aren't we? It's just this kite. It's a hard time getting up. And so I made my point. Back to the collegeites. You need to understand, while you may think you're in college to get a degree, and that is part of it, you're there because God has put you there if you're a born-again Christian. He wants you there to be a born-again Christian. He wants you to be diligent and get good grades so that he can use you for the gospel, because he can use people such as you to reach the lost. And so coming back to this quote from the letter of the Colossians, Paul saying, warning them about this influx of nonsense, he says, beware lest anyone gyp you. The word is cheat, but I'm afraid it doesn't go deep enough sometimes. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and powers. That means anything dead, living, any spiritual beings, God is Jesus Christ. He is head of it all. And so they profess to be wise, but they are fools. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. A woman's right to choose, a man's right to choose, free will. It's one of the things that there's a doctrine, for those of you who don't know, there's a teaching within church circles called Calvinism. And the biggest problem with that teaching is that it takes away choice, free will, which means it corrupts love. Love must have choice, not only feeling. When the prophet says, men, love the wife of your youth, he's not saying you must feel romantic to do this all the time. This starts with a choice. But when the man says, well, maybe I get somebody else, the wife starts, you know, brothers and sisters, if you have these thoughts about, well, if I could marry again, slap yourself. And if you don't want to do that, ask me, I'll do it. Don't let the devil tempt you with that nonsense. If society lived that way, you know, it's funny. When we talk about cultures and how the godless want to cover up true history. And this is one reason why this country is falling apart. It's because they're covering up history. You got to tell it all, bad and good alike. Yeah, there used to be slaves in this country, done by people in this country, and it was wrong. But we've overcome that. We're moving forward. So you tell it like it is. Well, going back to the history course in ancient Rome, Roman Empire was so impressive that, you know, Germany called her armies, you know, the Second and Third Reich, after the Romans. But they don't tell you the whole story. They don't tell you about how the society was decadent and sick and corrupt and the bloodthirstiness of men. The sanctity of life was non-existent. It was nothing for a mother to say, you know what, I wanted a girl, not a boy, right into the river. Or vice versa, I wanted a, you know, whatever, the boy. And however I said it the first time, the other way around. They won't tell you those things. Because the point is, if society continues to march in that direction, guess what? It will be destroyed. It will not survive. And this is why God sent the Jews into the promised land. Because all the things that the people of that land were doing was what the Jews were forbidden to do. And God used them as an instrument of judgment, because if he did not, and that continued, it would have spread throughout the world. And so we have the pharaohs of Egypt worshiping animals. You look at their gods, they're animals, jackals and snakes and things like that. You look at the Greeks, and they worshiped people, Zeus and, you know, all the other ones that they have, Apollo, all the other fake gods that they just created because they were assigning characteristics of men to gods. It doesn't work that way. We're created in God's image. He's not created in our image. A reversal of truth. It doesn't exist today because it is a myth. Christianity has always existed in some form. It is a direct link to Adam. It has an unbroken link to Adam. Coming back to this, then the Greeks, of course, merged the two together.
and worshipped fauns and half men and half beast. And as men, professing to be wise, they had the great universities of Athens and Alexandria. They boasted the biggest library among men, so big that when it had competition, it caused them to burn down the library at Pergamos in Turkey, which also housed over 200,000 books of writings of men. Seeking to be wise, they became fools because they put God last. And so when God created man, he made him in the image of God, free thinking, free to love, free to choose. And man ruined it. And God came to the rescue. But he cannot rescue those who do not believe they're in trouble. Try it. Just go to Walmart. You see somebody buying something you know is a better sale somewhere else. Try to rescue them from that. Don't buy it! And tackle them. It's absurd. I know why Christmas time you get gifts. You see what people have to go through to get the gifts. They should get something at the end of it. Here you go. Huh? Do you know how many lines? Okay. Coming back, I do these little, I guess they're joke commercials, because I know some of you need a break. It's like, okay, you bombarded me with the scripture verses and the fierceness of God and the love of God. I'm going to give you a little breather because we're going to get back right back to it right now. Verse 23. And change the glory of the incorruptible God. That means, of course, they weren't successful. Because you can't, if he's incorruptible, you cannot corrupt him. You cannot change it. But in their own thinking, this is what they did. Even the Jews did this, the religious Jews. Psalm 106 tells us that they made the image of God like a lamb. You can't do that. He's going to reject it. God has a lot to say about rejecting false worship and false sacrifices. So what? You go to church. That's not enough. Do you know me? Do you follow my word? Do you love me? Are you passionate about the things that I am passionate about? Or do you love someone else more than me? Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's a profession. Is there anything you love more than God is wrongly loved? And you are being cheated. And so we come back and he says, change the glory of incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. Birds, there's Egypt. Four-footed animals and creeping things. So it's going downward. It's just God is this high being, and men are now trying to reduce him into this nature thing, which is the definition of paganism. Paganism, in its original meaning, is the worship of nature. We have a lot of environmental cases in this country. They think that they are preserving the environment, but they are actually worshiping it. I'm all for properly managing God's kingdom, but you've gone from a spirit of truth. A man is arrogant to think that he can spoil the universe. He can make it an ugly place, for sure. But he cannot ruin God's creation. He cannot destroy it in that sense. He's not capable. He does not have that much power. So, we even make a joke. It's a small world. Yeah, but I wouldn't want to paint it. And the meaning is, it's too big. It's huge. You fly in an airplane, you see how many places, there's no road going there. All right, coming back to this, verse 24. Therefore, because of this, because they reduced God, this devolution, not evolution, the downward development, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. Now it's going to really get good. He's saying that this is how man has become so fouled up. It's not a trick. It didn't happen magically. There are causes and effects. He's done nothing without a cause. This is how it's happened. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness. Fine, you want to do that? Go right ahead. That's what it means. In the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now, perversion starts with something that's right. You can't twist that. You twist that which was not twisted. We all have lust. Every human being, because of sin, has a burning urge for something that is forbidden. We have an urge for things that puts God second and us first. It's the spirit of covetousness. That's why God says, I don't want you doing this. I don't want your desire for things to outgun me. And yet, that lust, if not checked, is a high-risk candidate to become a perverted lust, a super lust, a lust on steroids. This is what he is going to itemize in the remainder of this chapter. And he's going to develop everything else from this platform. And he's going to say not only those who do these things, but those who approve of them. You don't have to. You know, there are many people in jail that approve of crimes. even though they're not free to go commit them. It is one thing to have a robber or a murderer in your house. It's another thing to harbor him there. This is the essence of sin. There's a great difference between practicing sin and performing sin, and doing it. Great differences are clearly stated in Scripture. Again, if Christians were sinless, we would be the most self-righteous, judgmental, narrow-minded people you would ever find. How do you know? Just meet a Christian who thinks that they are so. Just come across a Christian who thinks that they are better than you, and you got trouble. You come across a Christian who lives like their master. He said of himself, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he goes on to say, "For I am meek and lowly in spirit." Meek is strength held in reserve. That's meekness. And the humility is, I can crush you, but I won't. There was a man that held legions of demons, and they were cast into the pigs. The pigs went insane and crashed into the lake of Galilee. That's what the devil's legions will do. They will destroy. Jesus said, I can call 12 legions. In fact, I don't really need to, but it's more dramatic. But he held his strength in reserve on our behalf. We're not going to get off this verse this morning. We'll stop at this verse, but after, there's so many more points to make. Psalm 81, verse 11. The Psalms are songs. People would once sing these things. It would remind them about who God is and who they were in relation to God, because they knew him. And God says in the 11th verse, but my people would not heed my voice. The ones that I called, the ones who claimed my name and said they were Christians and said they were, this time it was Jews, of course, but they said they belonged to me. They won't listen to me. I'm an interference in their life. And he continues, my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. How many people? So God, we don't really get to like, step out of my face. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. When you see perverted man, when you see man doing things that is sick, you understand it started with a natural lust to do sin, and then it developed. It evolved into this wickedness that is a super sin. When someone says, I'm out of the closet, please go back in. Once that happens, once a person loses their shame, overrides the system, sears the conscience with a hot iron, they are now susceptible to a super influx of demonic influence. Micah chapter 2. I'm going to read the rest of the verses. We're going to pick up on that verse next week, but I want to read this from Micah. That we cannot lie as they lie. We cannot steal and do wrong to fight them. We trust God to deliver us. We must be holy if we're going to be effective. Listen to what he says. This is what they said to the prophet Micah. Do not prattle, you say to those who prophesy. God speaking through the prophet to the people. So they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult. Oh, man. That's what I want to say to God. Can't I just let them have it one time, Lord? And I'll come get forgiveness. We'll be all right. But it doesn't work that way. And God says, if you compromise in your heart, then you set things back to a place where I can't fix them. Proverbs chapter 1. We're talking about how man has become so foul. You know, when Jim Croce came out with the song, You Got to Serve Somebody, everybody liked it because they knew it was true. They just did not want to submit to all that it suggested. I'm not saying that he was some sort of great Christian. I'm not going in that direction. I'm just making a statement. But you've got to serve somebody because you are a created being. You are a blend of physical and spiritual at the same time. And that spiritual part of you is what opens the door, if you allow it to, either God or the devil. And whichever one you let in is the one that is going to influence the physical side of you. And so here we have Proverbs, which ought to be mandatory reading in every school. We haven't even gotten to crimes that are being listed. I'm sorry, I'm not in Proverbs. I'm in Isaiah. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30. Well, verse 29. Because they hate knowledge, then it's the knowledge of God, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel, and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, because of that, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. God says, fine. You want that junk? There you go. Eat it till it comes out of your ears. And when you find out that you've got these diseases, when you find out that you've wasted your life, when you find yourself judged to a place where God is not, you've brought it on yourself. This is our goal, you who are born again. I'm not telling you to go into the workplace with this sandwich board on, "Thus says the Lord." I'm not saying that you should blare your Christianity like a trumpet unless you're invited to. Be diligent in your preparation and you watch what God will do with you without even trying.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the book of Romans the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through the book of Romans. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.